praise God. You know, sometimes you're just one song away from a victory. That's important. How many can feel the presence of God so strong here today? I don't know what your week was like. Some weeks are tougher than other weeks. Some weeks the mountain's just a little bit higher. And how many had a problem, at least one significant problem this week? You got, because I did. I got a couple of problems working on that. But here's what hits me. Every problem has a solution. Do you believe that? No problem, no issue, no mountain is impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. So before we sit down and get into the message, I just want us to pray. I want you to just let go of the problem that's been kind of grabbing you and turn it over to God and say, Lord, I just believe that you're my solution. I believe that you're the answer. Can we just pray together? Maybe your problem is sickness. Maybe you got a problem in a relationship. I hate that stuff. Or you're not getting along with somebody, or there was misunderstanding. Let's turn the problem over to him and let's believe for the solution right now. Father, in your presence, Lord, we have hope. We have faith. Lord, we're encouraged. Our hearts are lifted today by your presence, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. And Lord, I ask, Lord, concerning every problem, every challenge that your people are facing today, we lift it up to you, Lord, and we ask you to bring the solution, bring the answer, and solve it, Lord. Solve it, Lord. Guide us into godly wisdom. Teach us, Lord, what door to push on, what door to step back from. Teach us what way to walk and who to speak to and what to say, and give us your solutions, Lord. I pray that you would heal our bodies, heal our relationships. Lord, heal our minds and our spirits. Let us sleep at night. Let us experience your perfect peace, Lord, for every situation. We praise you and we thank you. We can't thank you enough, Lord, for all you have done for us. We believe you, we trust you, and we praise you. And everyone that agrees, say amen. Give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Thank God. You can be seated. Tell a friend or a neighbor, I think your problem is getting smaller. Go ahead, just tell them that. I think it's getting smaller. Thank you, worship team. Wonderful. It means so much to me that we can come to God's house and experience such wonderful presence. Beautiful worship, great friendship and love, and people greeting each other, hugging each other, and that means a lot to me. You guys mean a lot to me, and I'm excited for a great day together. We're starting a brand new series called Together, and it's called Doing Life as a Team, and we're going to get into that series, and I'll just mention that your handout that's on the chair is just a little bit beefier than normal, and that's on purpose, because one of the things that we've been working really hard to make sure this is a great series so that you can get with your life group, your friends, your family, your wife, whatever, have devotions, and go through this material together. Answer some questions and kind of let the message be the kickoff of a conversation in your life where you start to personalize it and apply what you're hearing and maybe talk about what it means for you and your family and your life and for your life group, whoever you're doing life with. I believe the motto of this theme, I believe it because I wrote it, but I believe it because it's true, and that is that everything, absolutely everything, gets better when we do life together. And I couldn't be more excited about being in the pulpit and sharing these messages with you and enjoying this material together, because I'm convinced that not just for our church, this will be a significant time for our church, but also for families, I believe for married couples, I believe for students, back to school, you know, you're trying to figure out how to get forward, how to move forward with your life. I believe these messages are going to help you. Sunday after Sunday, we're going to share a message and then go through the material. So grab a weekly handout, gather up some friends, and let's get started. I've got a verse for you this morning. It's from Acts chapter 2. It's our main verse. And the title of my message this morning is Why Together? Why Together? And here's the answer. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41-42, the Message translation, says about 3,000 were baptized. This is on the day of Pentecost. Pentecostals love Acts chapter 2. I'm a Pentecostal. And Acts chapter 2 is a great chapter. But it says on that day, 3,000 were baptized. Think about that. And committed themselves to the teaching of the apostles. And this phrase in the Message translation says, the life together. Not just life together, the life together. What is that? The life together. They committed themselves to Jesus, but they also committed themselves to the life together. The common meal and the prayers. We've been saying for several weeks, you've heard it said around here, that big things happen the moment we say, let's do this together. And I believe that so strongly. And for that reason, I want to take a minute, push pause on this message, and talk to you just for a moment, maybe 60 seconds, 90 seconds, about some things that I see coming this fall. Now everybody's back to school. We're kind of through the summer vacations and all that. And now we're into the fall. And there are some things that I see ahead for our church that are very exciting. First and foremost, most of you know by now that we have a passion, not just to be a church inside of four walls, but we have a passion to be a church that goes outside or goes beyond the walls of our church. We are actually right now involved in cities, five cities, San Jose, Phoenix, Clovis, Santa Rosa, and Modesto. And we are believing God together to reach more cities in the fullness of time as God helps us to do that. We don't want to just be about ourselves. We want to be about reaching people for Jesus Christ. So when you're a part of Gateway, you're not just a part of a neighborhood church. You're a part of a mission. You're a part of a movement that is believing God to touch other cities. How many are on board with that idea, to reach cities for Jesus Christ? So that is all spelled out in a book that I wrote last year called Beyond, and in a few weeks, we're going to be making that book available to you again so that if you haven't seen it, it's a tiny book. You can read it probably like in an hour. I want you to really understand what's happening there. But in that vision to reach more than just our city, but to reach multiple cities, there is a gathering time that we have every year. We did it last year for the first time, and it exceeded everybody's expectation. People are still talking about that inspired leaders conference that we had last year. That was last October. We're going to do it again. It's going to be an annual event for us. It's coming up the 19th and 20th of this year. That's just, 7 weeks away or so. Reason I'm bringing it up right now is I want you to clear your calendar. If you love this church, if you believe in our mission of inspiring, transformed lives, if you need a time of refreshing and encouragement personally, this conference is for you. It starts on Friday morning, the 19th, so I know that's not an ideal timing, but there's so much to pack in that maybe you could take a day off of work, or maybe your schedule will be free that day and you could come all day on Friday. Friday night, Pastor Frank DiMaggio is going to be speaking. It's going to be a powerful time. And then we're going to have a tremendous reception here. It's really more like a party than a conference, but there's going to be a lot of great speakers. Pastor Eric Butler, Pastor Frank DiMaggio, myself, others will be joining us. It's going to be a wonderful, inspirational time. And then Saturday morning, we'll have a couple of morning sessions, and then we're going to have communion. The reason this is very special is because all our people from the other cities are driving in. All of our leaders from Modesto and Clovis and Santa Rosa, even from Phoenix, they're coming in. By the way, This Tuesday, Kathy and I get on a plane for Phoenix. We're going to go spend a few days with the team in Phoenix because they're ready to launch location number 5. That's coming in February of 2019. So it's a big year, tremendous time. And I'm excited. I'm going to go just catch up with them, love on them, encourage them. And it's going really good. They've already baptized somebody. They've had interest meetings. The team is growing in Phoenix, and they're doing really great. So I'll bring you a report really soon about how it's going there. So they're going to be coming from Phoenix, and we're all going to be together for a conference. That's why I'm talking just for a moment about it, because it's very special. Then after that conference, about 3 weeks later, you're going to hear us talking quite a bit about our Beyond offering. The Beyond offering is not an offering to keep San Jose running fine. San Jose is running fine. All of our campuses are self-supporting, and they live within their budgets. The Beyond offering is to go beyond our normal giving so that we can reach out and do more for God. This is like our big annual missions offering. Last year, your Beyond offering fueled the launch, $300,000 launch of the Phoenix campus. And that's all coming in beautifully. Thank you for your giving. And so we're on to the next vision, and I can't wait to share what that vision is. I'm not going to do it today because I want to get back to this message. But two things just to be praying with me about as we come for this conference, that everybody will be here, that God will pour out His Holy Spirit on us and empower us. We need these times together, the Holy Spirit to energize us. And then as we think about what we can do for God above and beyond our normal giving in our annual Beyond offering, that's in November, be praying with me about that, because God's given us not just, if it was just for us, if it was just, hey, we got our buildings, we got our lights, we got our stage, we got our music, we could just kind of be a nice church. But I'm not ready to stop. I want to keep going for God. How many want to go with me beyond? All right, let's go beyond what we're doing and believe God for more. Can I have an amen? Now let's get into the Word of God. And I want to begin this message, why together, with a quotation from Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa once said, we got it up on the screen. She said, "You can do what I cannot do. I can do what you cannot do. Together, we can do great things." This tiny, diminutive woman from a poor country and a broken background led a worldwide movement because she understood the power of people gathering together and doing things together. It's amazing what happens when we do together. You remember this last summer, I think it was in June, our eyes were transfixed on our television screens over the story of those 12 young children and their soccer coach who got stuck in that cave. How many remember that story from this last summer? What a gripping, dramatic thing. These kids that were a team, and they were going on a team-building experience. They went way down into the caverns of the earth, way up in a part of Thailand that I've actually been to. It's right on the border with Myanmar, very remote. And the monsoons came very quickly. While they were in the caves, the waters collected and trapped them deep inside the earth. And of course, the Thais have their own version of Navy SEALs, their highest, most highly trained elite soldiers. They sent them in. And of course, it was a huge challenge. It was terrifying. The thought that they might not be able to get those kids out. Most of those kids did not know how to swim. And there was channel after channel, blockage after blockage, and they were deep in the earth. And even if they could, even if I was watching a 2020 piece about it the other night, and they realized what they were up against was, even if they could get to the kids and get them out through the water, the kids weren't trained. Not only did they not know how to swim, but they weren't trained in scuba. How do you get them sometimes 500 yards of water before they could get to the next place to breathe? They ended up actually knocking the kids out, medicating them, because it was so dangerous that they put masks on them and dragged them through the water. Well, they sent one of their best Thai Navy SEALs in, and he died in the rescue attempt. And this great nation, Thailand, that I've been to many times, suddenly realized they were literally in over their heads. They couldn't do it. And so they reached out. You remember the story. They reached out to nations all over the world. And they decided, we can't do this on our own. We got to get some help. There was a team of British divers that had been training for 10 years together for this exact kind of a rescue. They were super challenged by it. I mean, this tested everything in them. But because Thailand reached out to other countries and said, we can't do this by ourselves, would you help us? Nations came together, not only Britain, but Canada, and there were several European nations. The United States, of course, got involved, and they worked as a team. It was a huge operation. But, you know, they got all 13 of those trapped individuals out of that cave, and they're all smiling and doing international interviews and giving their story. And it's a testimony. Once again, it's a testimony of the fact that if we try to do things by ourselves, we can only go so far. But when we do it together, amazing, amazing things can happen. What I want to do is talk to you about your life today. I want to ask you if you're trying to do it by yourself. If you feel like it's all up to you, are you facing some kind of a pressure that is so huge where the stakes are so high? Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's your family life. Maybe you're battling an addiction. You're up against something that is so massive that you're not sure. You're literally in over your head. I want to share some hope with you and encourage you, and also maybe get you to think about some things in the Bible today that you may have never realized before. I want to take a few minutes and just talk about how together is a God idea. I'm asking the question, why would we do things together? And I want to answer that first from the pages of the Bible. Together is a God idea, and the Bible has a lot to say about that concept. If you go all the way back to creation, God said to himself, it is not good that man should be what? Alone, right? And so God created a beautiful wife for Eve. They had family, and that was God's purpose from the very beginning, that they would be together. Then you fast forward through the pages of Scripture, and you come to a book called Ecclesiastes, written by the wisest king that ever lived. His name was Solomon. And this is what Solomon said. Solomon has a commentary about how none of us should ever walk alone or war alone. We certainly shouldn't work alone. Here's what he says. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other to succeed. How many would like to succeed in life? All right? You can't succeed on your own. If one person falls, the other one can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? Here's a third example. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Have you found, as I have, that life is a huge battle? I mean, it's tough. It's tough in the workplace. Can I have an amen? It's tough in relationship. I mean, there is nothing easy about life. It's a battle, and you have an enemy. There's a lot of work to do, a lot of headwinds, a lot of challenges, tough days, tough weeks, times that make you question yourself, times that make you question, is this going to work? You can feel that attack of the enemy and that pressure. I would call it warfare. Warfare sometimes against your mind, against your convictions, against the vision that God has given you. The enemy will try to fight it. He'll try to get you to second guess yourself. Second guess your marriage. I don't think this is going to work. I don't think this ministry is going to work. I don't think this position is going to work out for me. I don't know if I can handle this. I don't think I'll be able to graduate. I think this cancer is going to take me out. I think this loneliness is going to suffocate me. I don't know if I can make it. I talk to people all the time, and I have my own problems, so I know this stuff gets very real. And what the wisest person who ever lived is saying is, don't try this at home alone. Don't do this by yourself. Don't fight by yourself. Don't live by yourself. Don't war by yourself. And so it's a battle, and there are a lot of enemies. But what he says is, we can win. We can succeed if we have this thing called together. And I want to challenge every married couple, because just because you're married doesn't mean you're not alone. I want to challenge every friendship, every person. Just because you have a friend doesn't mean you don't feel alone. You've got to at some point say to the people that you care about, the people that you've got to say, whatever happens, we're in this together. Whatever happens, we're going to do this together so that nobody is ever, ever alone. This kind of life together is what Jesus came, modeled, died and rose, and sent the Holy Spirit so that we could have that. I want to walk you through this just a little bit. Let me give you a few scriptures, and then I'm going to get to some really good stuff about why we would want to do life together. First, in Matthew chapter 10, we find where Jesus started his 3.5-year beautiful ministry. And the first thing Jesus did was to form a team. Now, I want you to think about this and then answer this question. Do you think that Jesus could have healed the sick and done his teachings? Do you think Jesus could have given, for example, the Sermon on the Mount by himself without a team? How many think he could have done that? Sure, he could have healed people. He didn't need the likes of Peter, right? Helping him with his notes or helping him get people healed, right? Did Jesus have a team because he couldn't handle it by himself? Jesus could do anything. But what Jesus did, the very first thing he did was bring together a team because he understood this life together. He said, this is not supposed to be done by myself. So he brings together a team of 12. That was the beginning of his ministry. He goes all the way through 3.5 years of teaching, preaching, prophesying, end times, healings, resurrections. He comes right up to Calvary. He dies on a cross. Why does he die on a cross? He dies on a cross, the end of his ministry, as a substitute for our sins and our brokenness, and so that we would never be alone. Watch this. Jesus died not only for your sins, but look what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2. Christ brought us, what? Together through his... I'm telling you that Jesus didn't just die so that your sins could be washed away. Jesus died so that you could be in relationship with people in a clean, healthy way so that you would never be alone again. He died so that you could experience life with other people. He never intended you to experience that alone. So he died. He rose from the dead. 50 days later was the day of Pentecost. The church was gathered. Well, it wasn't the church yet. His followers, 120 of them, were gathered in the upper room. Jesus had ascended. He gave them a promise. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. Wait until you are filled with the power that I'm sending to you from heaven. So they had a prayer meeting, and it was a diverse prayer meeting. There were men, there were women, there were people from all over the world, every color, in that upper room, a beautiful picture of heaven. They're praying, they're waiting on God. And suddenly, a wind is blowing, and a sound is heard. And it says there in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, that they were gathered together, gathered how? Together in one accord. They were experiencing the life together, and that's when the Holy Spirit was poured out. People talk about revival, and I'm praying for revival, and I'm believing for revival. But one thing we often forget about revival is that you can't have a revival listening to a CD of your favorite Christian band by yourself in your car. That's not revival. I'm glad you do that. That's great. But that's not revival. Revival is something that is experienced together. It's something where the Holy Spirit is poured out on a church or a city and people are experiencing it together. Revival is not an individual experience. It's not, let me go to a service and get what I need from God. Woo, that was revival. Revival is something that connects us powerfully to the life of God as we live it out in community. And so it happened there in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And then right away, the church is born. That's the birthday of the church. From that point on, they have the Holy Spirit. They now have the Great Commission. They start going out and living the life together. And look at Acts chapter 2, verse 44 through 47. Here's a peek onto the inside of what it was like to be a Christian in those early days. All the believers were what? Together. Yeah, it's a big word. They were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. What an unselfish community. What a loving community. And then it says, and every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate. How? Together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying, watch this, favor. What happens when you're together is God jumps into it. Favor starts coming on your life. By yourself, you're not going to have favor. You're going to have favor when you're connected to the move of God and to where the Holy Spirit is moving. They were enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number. People are coming to Christ now. They're getting saved. Their lives are turning around because of this experience together. Then you go on and say, well, what does the rest of the Bible say about together? Look at the writings of the Apostle Paul, the epistles where he talks about the church as the body of Christ, where it says the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Oh, I hear a lot of people talking that way now. Oh, I don't need church. I don't need people. I do life by myself. I don't, you know, it's just me and my wife, and sometimes I wonder about her. I don't trust anybody. We live in a very untrusting culture, an unconnecting culture. I've been hurt. So don't get close to me. Why is it that we defeat ourselves? If life is such a challenge, why do we isolate ourselves? We're going to deal with that over the next few weeks. But here Paul talks about the body of Christ, the church, and he says it's a body. In other words, we belong connected to each other. That's where the health is. And the life is in the church. I got a couple of stories that I want to tell you. One's a tale that I found. It's kind of humorous. And the other one is my own personal story. I'll start with the funny one. At least I thought it was funny. I found it in a book by John Maxwell. And see if you can picture this. This was a guy, actually, I found out this story has been going around for like 100 years. So it's kind of like it's just a joke, right? But see if you can picture this, because here's the details of a man who was filling out his insurance report after an accident that he had. And I think you might find the details of this accident interesting. Here's a quotation from his insurance form. He was, his task, he was a bricklayer, and his task was to move 500 pounds of bricks from the top of a building down to the ground floor, but he was all by himself. And he had an accident in the process. Here's what happened on the insurance form. He said, it would have taken too long to carry the bricks down by hand. So I decided to put them in a barrel and lower them by a pulley, which I fastened to the top of the building. After laying the rope securely at the ground level, I then went up to the top of the building, fastened the rope around the barrel, loaded it with the 500 pounds of bricks, and swung it out over the sidewalk for the descent. Then I went down to the sidewalk and untied the rope, holding it securely to guide the barrel full of bricks down slowly. But since I only weigh 140 pounds, the 500-pound load jerked me from the ground, jerked me so fast that I didn't have time to think of letting go of the rope. As I passed between the second and third floors, I met the barrel, which was coming down. This accounts for the bruises and lacerations on my upper body. I continued to hold tightly to the rope until I reached the top, where my hand became jammed in the pulley. This accounts for my broken thumb. At the same time, however, the barrel hit the sidewalk with a bang, and the bottom of the barrel fell out. With the weight of the bricks gone, the barrel only weighed 40 pounds. Thus, my 140-pound body began a swift descent, and I met the empty barrel coming up. This accounts for my broken ankle. Slowed only slightly, I continued the descent and landed on a pile of bricks. This accounts for my sprained back and broken collarbone. At this point, I lost my presence of mind completely and let go of the rope. The empty barrel came crashing down on me, causing my head injuries. As for the last question on the form, what would you do if the same situation arose again? Please be advised that I am finished trying to do my job alone. How many think that's a pretty cute story? Don't try this alone. You'll get hurt. The other story is my own personal story. If I could just get real for a minute, I may have expressed this to you before, but I was raised in a Christian family, Christian context. My parents love God and still serve Him. But I had an older brother that was in a lot of trouble and a younger brother that was in a lot of trouble. And there were like 6 years between me and my younger brother, and there were 9 years between me and my older brother. So there wasn't a lot of close connection, at least in the family. My dad worked a lot of hours. He did a great job raising me, but he wasn't around like a lot of dads are at night. And I grew up, I'm looking back at this now as a 57-year-old, I can say, I don't think I realized it at the time, but I'm analyzing my 7, 8-year-old, 10-year-old self, and I'm saying to myself, that was a very lonely, isolated kid. Tremendous feelings of loneliness. And the reason I think about that sometimes is because I got into drugs and alcohol like in the 4th and 5th grade. I was smoking dope every day by the 7th grade, getting drunk and doing stupid stuff that I shouldn't do. And I look at myself and I say, what was happening in my life as a 5th grader that would make me so interested in the wrong things? And I realized that it was profound loneliness. And I could talk for, if I had the time, I could give you all the reasons. I had a good family, but it was just the way it was set up, and then my relationships with other kids and et cetera. I think I'm not unique in that. I think a lot of kids experience those feelings. So when I talk about loneliness, I really do understand that feeling. I totally get it. I remember the icy cold feeling of just maybe being invisible, maybe thinking nobody saw. I certainly didn't see what was happening to me. A little bit lost. And then I met Jesus Christ. And instantly, right, when I heard the gospel and it became real to me for the first time, it was just at the time when I needed God so, so much. I think all of us, you know, we don't come to Christ because everything's going great. How many get that, right? We come to God because we're in trouble. We're broken and so there I was, and the gospel hit me. I realized that Jesus would forgive my sins, but the thing that was, and of course I had a lot of shame for how I was living and the games I was playing with my family and all of that, but the thing that hit me the most was that God knew my name and that He saw me and that he was interested in a personal relationship. When that hit me, I don't know, somehow it landed. It doesn't sound very profound, but for me, it was everything, that I never had to be alone again. That for me was the gospel. That Jesus loved me, that God loved me, that I had a Father in heaven that cared about the details of my life and that I didn't ever have to be alone. And that was a profound healing for me. And I received Christ and was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I have such a soft spot for our 14-year-olds, our 12-year-olds here in the church. I'm so happy with what's happening for them as I see them being trained and developed, because that was my story. And they're finding, you know, connection with each other. It's so important. But I started to experience not only just a healing in my life because I knew that my sins were forgiven, but I started to experience for the first time like a feeling of family, like fellowship. Does that make sense to you guys? Like being around Christians, other people that knew all of those struggles, that also had their hang-ups and their habits and their hurts. And we were working together and living together and praying together, and we were in small groups together, and I had a church family, and some of my church family were exotic, you know, they were, older people that I didn't usually wouldn't hang out with, but they loved me, and suddenly I liked being loved by them, and there were married people, I wasn't married, but they loved on me, and it was like I had family, and I had connection, and I was like overdosing on fellowship. It was amazing, and I had a pastor. Oh my God, there's a person in my life that loves me and believes in me and teaches me and is raising me up. And that was this church right here, this church. And I've been here ever since. The reason I've never left is because I would not dream of interrupting the flow of life together. And of course, now I'm married and I have two beautiful sons and two amazing daughters in love, and the four most beautiful grandchildren that God ever created are mine, with all due respect. And I say that impartially. I say that in my role as a pastor. I have, like, connection. And it's been a profound healing for me. And it's not just in this church. I have friends as well and all over the world. And it's just amazing. And for me, the upshot of this is that together for me is not just a word. It's been a profound source of healing emotionally, psychologically. It's been life to me. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? And I just want to talk to you if you're wrestling with loneliness, because you're married or just because you're in a family doesn't mean those feelings don't come to you. The workplace can be very lonely. If your marriage gets full of junk and stuff, you can feel very isolated, even inside of a marriage. Loneliness is not reasonable. It's not logical. It can touch you. And we're in a mental health crisis, actually, in this country because of increasing isolation. One of the reasons why I'm bringing this series of messages is because I believe that together is a profound healing experience. It's something so important. And I want to say to you, if you're feeling alone, let's work on this together. Let's tackle this and let's break that isolation and get you connected and understanding through Jesus Christ, you never have to be alone. And through his people, you never will be alone. I'm not saying we're perfect and we're certainly not the only church. I'm not speaking just about Gateway. I'm talking about the body of Christ. There's a place for you in the body of Christ. You need to unpack your bags and relax and start to enjoy the benefits and the blessings of together. Can I give you four great things that'll happen in your life every time you say, let's do this together? Let me give them to you. Number one, you're going to go further in life. When you say, why should I trust people? Why should I connect with people? Because you'll go further. There's an African proverb that says, if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together. And I know in the plan of God, there's a plan for you to succeed, for you to go far in life. But you can't get there by yourself. You're going alone, that makes you fast. But if you want to really get close some distance, you've got to have people with you. Go further in life. Then the second thing that happens is when you say, let's do it together, things get easier. I will tell you a funny story from my early years of marriage with Kathy. We had our first apartment. Remember, honey? 3198 Kimber Court, number 98. I loved that place. The rent was $420 a month. And 3198 Kimber Court, number 98, San Jose, California, 95124. 408, never mind. But that was our first place. I loved it. And then it was owned privately. It was a condo that was owned privately, and the guy decided to sell. So we got in notice that we had to vacate, and we had 30 days or 60 days, whatever it was. And so we had to move, and I was heartbroken. We actually moved to 3198 Kimber Court, number 93, which was downstairs and to the left. It's not exciting, but it's true, all right? And but moving day came, and it was just a short move, just from number 98 to number 93. So I sort of underestimated maybe what it was going to take to do all that. And I didn't get a good posse together. I was by myself. And the day before, I realized, wait a minute, I'm alone. Like an idiot. So I called Pastor Gary Avila, right? He's tiny, but he's wiry. And we were both a little younger then. That was back in 19, probably 80, no, probably 83, you know, 82. And we had to do that whole move by ourselves. Have you ever had the depressing experience of not having enough help on moving day? Like, I mean, it's awful. So that's an illustration that says it, if I'd had 10 guys and I made myself a promise every time I move, I'm going to make sure everybody in my life knows I'm moving, and I'm going to have a lot of food and a lot of invitations. And so, you know, but things get easier when you, why do we try to do things by ourselves? It's too hard when you're by yourself. The other thing that happens when you make a decision to do things together is that you get more satisfaction in life. You get more of the joy of living. I don't know how your experience of life is. I see a lot of grumpy people, a lot of angry people, people that don't smile. I say, where's the joy of living? Where's the life? Where's the zing? I'm not trying to be bubbly or effervescent, but I said maybe a smile once every 3 months, you know, something. I think when you're alone, when you just wall everything and everybody off, there's no joy, there's no laughter, there's no satisfaction. How weird is that? How unsatisfying is that? There's something so satisfying about being a part of something that's bigger than yourself. Living for yourself is totally depressing when you think about it. It's boring. But when you're a part of something that takes your attention from off of yourself, you're a part of a cause, you forget your problems, you get a break from your weird anxieties and all the voices in your head, and you start engaging in something, and you realize suddenly you're happy and you're satisfied in life. Your life hasn't really changed. You still owe your rent. Your car still makes a funny noise in reverse, but you're satisfied because God has wired you to be in community. There's one more thing that I think is very important, and that is that how God's power is released. God's power is released when we do it together. I could go on and talk about, but let me close with this one story. There was a horse pulling competition where they were testing the strength of these horses, literally horsepower. And so they had a competition where it came down to the last two horses. The one horse, the second place winner, was able to pull 4,000 pounds dead weight. Amazing, right? Then the winner, the one that actually won the contest, was able to pull 5,000 pounds. Unbelievable. So that horse got the prize, of course, and then the contest was over, and they said, you know, let's do one thing. Let's try an experiment. What would happen if we put the 4,000-pound puller with the 5,000-pound puller? How much could they pull together? I said, well, that's easy. Simple addition. 4,000 plus 5,000, how many would you expect they would be able to move, right? 9,000, right? Makes sense on one level, except for the law of synergy. The law of synergy says that the sum is greater than the parts. So when those two horses pulled together, they were able to pull 12,000 pounds. Much more than the sum total of the two of them by themselves. What am I saying? There's a supernatural synergy that also works. That's just two horses pulling dead weight. But when you and I connect together, something similar but much more powerful takes place. Jesus said, if you pray, two or three of you agree, I'll do anything for you. That's called spiritual synergy. The book of Leviticus actually says, if we could get that last verse on there, Leviticus, what is it, 26? Yeah. Five of you will chase 100. And 100 of you will chase what? That's synergy. That's not addition. That's multiplication. And your enemies will fall by the sword before you. I am dreaming of what could happen in your life, your marriage, your work life, your business, your church. What could happen if we actually get a hold of this principle? If we can get two or three, or if we can get five chasing, what could we accomplish? I tell you, there's no limit to what we can do if we do it together. So let me close with this question. My question for you is, are you fighting alone or are you fighting together? My question for you is, are you pulling alone in life right now, you, or are you pulling together? If you are alone, my God has a brilliant plan to fix that and fill your life with unbelievable blessings. It's real. It'll touch you on the inside, but it'll make a difference on every level. If you're a student, whatever is going on. And I want you to bow your heads right now, and I want to pray for you. We're coming to the end of the service, and this is the moment right here where I want you to open up your heart. I know you might feel discouraged. I know you might feel lonely. I know you might feel like, man, nothing's working. I have so many problems. But I want you to open up and trust God right now. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that fresh hope will be birthed in every one of our lives, Lord. That we'll not just be able to see a few minutes in front of us, but we'll be able to see a lifetime of satisfaction and joy. Whether we're married or single or student or retired, male, female, Lord, I'm lifting up every person hearing my voice right now, especially those that feel lonely, that feel cut off, hopeless. I'm asking you to heal their hearts, Lord. Do it. Do what you did for me. Do that for them, Lord. I pray that you connect us and give us a sense of mission together, Lord, and also that our businesses and families would work better. Just bring us into together, Lord. And I come against the spirit of loneliness because it's a wicked thing. It's a dark, evil thing. And Lord, I ask you to break its power off of every heart, Lord, in this room. Everyone listening online, break the power of loneliness and loose, Lord, joy and the joy of living this, the life that Jesus came to give us. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for us. Thank you for taking away our sins and for giving us a life together. I ask you to touch your people right now, Lord, big time. Wherever they need it the most. And I thank you for this, Lord. Just keep your head bowed and your eyes closed if you would for a moment. I can't help but wonder, there might be somebody listening online or here in our San Jose campus, you're hearing my voice and saying, you know, that's me. I'm that lonely, cut off person. I'm isolated from God. I was talking to you about how I got saved. And that was ministering to you because you can sense in your own life that you're away from God. It could be that you have served the Lord before, but you've gotten away, or it could be that you've never met the Lord. I want to pray for you. I don't want you to leave without really connecting with Jesus Christ. Invite him into your life and say, Lord, I don't want to be alone anymore. Take my sins, take my loneliness, forgive me and wash me. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I would never embarrass you. But I would like to pray for you, and I'd like to pray for you personally. If I could see your hand, if you say, Pastor David, that's me. I want prayer. I need Christ in my life. If that's you, and I'm asking you just to lift your hand in this moment. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I see your hand. I see your hand just wherever you are. Don't be shy. A third hand. I see you in the back, a fourth, a fifth, a sixth, a seventh. Every Christian praying. Anybody else right now? Say, pray for me. I need a new life. I want to invite Christ into my life. I see your hand. That's wonderful. God sees your hand and he sees your heart. And if you're in the cafe or listening online, God sees you. And I'm believing that God is going to make a major difference in your life today. All right, I'm going to pray for every person who lifted their hand. Father, I pray a special prayer right now that you would just touch and deliver and set free. Save, heal, and fill with the Holy Spirit every person, Lord, that longs for you. We open our hearts, all of us open our hearts to you, Jesus. We praise you for this in Christ's name. Amen. Somebody say hallelujah for about 8 or 9 people giving their lives to Jesus. I don't know, was it 8? Was it 9? That's what it's all about, bringing people into new life. If you did lift your hand, we're gonna receive the offering in just a moment. When that bag comes by, there's a card you heard about earlier in the service. It says, I've decided. It's right in front of you. There's a pen there. I would love to look at your card and see the decision that you've made to rededicate your life or give your life to Christ. Just to record that, make it real, make it official. Today's your day. Fill that card out, drop it in the offering, and let us know. As long as well, the folks that are new, we'd love to get your I'm New Here card. All right, the ushers are going to come and serve. We're going to worship the Lord for a couple of moments here with our giving and our singing. Don't go anywhere. Pastor Chris is coming to close the service in just a minute. Love you guys. Thank you.
Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin.
Thank the Lord this morning for this word. Amen. Amen. You know, Pastor, I just really sense supernaturally that the Holy Spirit says don't be surprised if he's going to create opportunities for more connection to take place this week. I mean, we work, we're tired, we're busy, but the Lord says I'm going to create opportunities to get together. That's one of the reasons we have what we call life groups. Now, most of you know, I've heard about groups. A life group really is just another opportunity for people to get together, make friends, and then to discuss what God is doing in our lives. That's why we put together this new format for the notes. The first page is what we studied this morning. Page 3 and 4 is what you can go through together, get your families together, kids together, join a life group. In fact, out in the lobby, we have a showcase of all the different types of groups. We have got married groups, men groups, women groups, young professional groups, high schools, etc. Go check it out. And if you want to host a group, there's information out there how to get connected to do that as well. But let's make an effort to get together, amen, and to be connected together. And let's just say, Pastor David, thank you for the word this morning. Let's give it up. That was a good word. Timely word, timely word. Amen. Let's all pray. Father, this afternoon, we just thank you for this opportunity for us to be together here, together in this building, and those that are watching online. We thank you for what your Spirit is doing, Lord, bringing us together, healing, lifting us up, Lord, encouraging. Let everybody leave today encouraged, Lord, knowing you have a plan and that you're going to make a way, Father, to heal from the loneliness and the brokenness. And so, Lord, right now, we speak a blessing to every person in this room, to the leaders, to those that are looking, those that are searching, Lord, to the wives and the husbands, Lord. Create a way, Lord God, where there seems no way in the Silicon Valley and all over the challenges, Lord, that we're going to come together. Everybody say together. Lord, as a family of God, we're going to be together. I speak that blessing over us now, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen, amen. Hey, listen, if you want personal prayer, you need healing, or you want somebody to agree with you, we got our prayer teams up here in the front. Otherwise, go find somebody to get together with this week. Amen. God bless.